Well, in a few hours, I'm skipping town. And on Friday, I'm skipping the country. So I think that means that today, I can say whatever I want. Here's my chance, finally, at long last, to preach that fire and brimstone homily, burn the church down as I leave. No, just kidding. But our holy church certainly presents us with some challenging readings today, does she not? So, I would like to reflect on these with you. You know, the theme of marriage and family, which certainly comes through very strongly in our second reading, kind of sandwiched between it all, questions about are we going to follow the Lord our God or not, even in those times and moments when we don't understand. That second reading, which presents us St. Paul's vision of marriage and family, is certainly something which is not well understood in our times, and people don't have a whole lot of interest, I think, in living the vision for the family that is found here in the sacred scriptures, and that is ultimately the plan of our Lord God for each and every one of us, for our happiness, for our well-being, for ultimately our own salvation. So the family is in crisis today. So while it would be great to have, you know, an hour and a half to unpack a theme like this, like Father Nathan just did with the encyclical from the Pope on creation, I only have the time slot of a homily, so I can't say everything. So let me preface it by saying that. But if you would be just good, open-minded liberals with me, let's try to open our hearts and our minds to receive the Word of God today and to allow the Word of God to touch us and maybe reveal something to us that we haven't seen before or haven't understood before. So I would invite you to notice perhaps what we didn't notice, because it's the first line of the reading, and then we get all distracted with wives being subordinate to husbands and things like that. But the first line of St. Paul, which is really the keynote for the whole address here, is be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. Out of reverence for Christ. Notice how he puts our Lord Jesus Christ right in the center of holy marriage and of the family and of the relationship between husbands and wives right away. Your marriages are to be centered on Christ, and he gives us the reason for why you ought to be, quote, subordinate to each other, is for no other reason than for reverence for Christ. So he makes reference to God himself right away. I propose then that we read the entire reading then with that in the background, in which St. Paul here, as he does in other places, affirms in the beginning our fundamental equality in dignity before God. You know, there's another place where he says, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek nor slave nor free, etc., nor male nor female. And of course, if you think about that literally, well, of course we're male and female. There are no other options, right? And we're either, we might be Jews, or we might be Greeks, or we might be regular old Americans, or whoever we are, but we're that too, right? And hopefully we're all free, but we know that some of our brothers and sisters still suffer under the yoke of slavery in the world. So what in the world is he talking about? Well, what he's talking about is not that we're genderless or something, but that before God, we stand before him with a radical and fundamental equality, whether we're a man or a woman. Before our God, as his son or as his daughter, we find equality. Equality in the rewards of salvation and eternal life. That's the goal, right, that our God wants for each and every one of us. He wants us to be united face to face with him in heaven. Equality. Now I want to skip down to the part here about husbands loving your wives. Even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over for her to sanctify her. In case we need a reminder about how Christ loved the church and how then St. Paul is asking each and every one of us as men to love our wives, and not just our wives, but our daughters and our neighbors and indeed any woman in our life. He says, as Christ loved the church. Well, in each one of our churches, usually we have a big reminder of how Christ loved the church, and St. Francis Cabrini here is no exception. We have a beautiful crucifix, right? That's how much Christ loved the church, that he gave his entire self, his whole life, so that we could have life. That's not an easy task. That's not something for pushovers, right? That's the real love of real men that St. Paul says we need to have for our wives, where we cancel out everything in us that is selfish and we give our entire selves. And when a person knows that she is loved like that, like Christ himself loved the church, it no longer becomes so scary, and it certainly is not an affront to freedom or dignity in any way to be able to follow the leadership of that love. There's no loss of dignity there at all. Because the relationship of husband and wife is not to be one in Christ, the relationship in Christ of domination. That's not it at all, right? Be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. And yet, St. Paul presents not only fundamental equality, but different roles. And this is something that our contemporary world just doesn't want to hear, right? We love the part about equality, but we think that means that we're the same, and that's just not true. We're not the same. We are equal before God, but not the same. And our Lord gives us different emphases, different roles, if you want to use that word. And that's okay, but we have to have the whole picture together. Otherwise, it's not going to work too well. Therefore, the relationship of husband and wife, as I said, is not one that would be domineering. But the aspect of leadership is so important. I think my fellow men, fathers, brothers, we have to do a little check and see where we're at. And one area where I would propose that we really need to be leaders in our families is in the spiritual life of our family. Just based a bit on my own observation and experience and talking to other people too, it seems that one of the results of this crisis of fatherhood that we see today and a crisis of leadership when it comes to our faith and our spiritual life is that our kids are not interested in continuing to live their Catholic faith. And they drift away and they go and do their own thing. Whereas it seems less likely for this to happen when we have strong fathers who take an interest in their faith and exercise real leadership in that regard. It doesn't mean that the ladies have nothing to do with leadership or initiation when it comes to faith. Not at all. And they've tried to step up to the plate, in a sense, and try to do something, right, to keep faith alive in families, and that's good. But the men have fallen down on the job, I think, largely. And that's something that we need to work on. we need to correct. We need to be able to take that appropriate leadership. You know, when was the last time that as a husband and father, you called your family to prayer at home, even if just for a meal? Or if that's something like, oh, we'll just let the ladies take care of that, that's fine. They do that religion thing, and I'm not too interested. We've got to make that important. And when we make that important, when children see that, oh, Dad thinks that this is something that's important, and he is excited about it, it becomes that much more attractive as something to give our own lives to as young people. So, the same questions that Joshua poses to the Israelites and that our Lord poses today are ours, right? Joshua asks the Israelites, who are you going to serve? Is it going to be God, the one true God? And in other words, the whole plan that he has for your life? Or is it going to be some false god? Decide now. And Jesus asks the 12 apostles, you know, after they've all been murmuring and saying, man, this is hard. This is a hard saying. Who can accept it? True, in reference to the teaching about the Eucharist, but we could easily apply the same thing to the teaching of Christ on marriage and the family. That's what most people say today, I think. Man, this is a hard teaching. So old-fashioned, out of date. Who can accept it? Yet, incidentally, that's wrought with misunderstanding. In any case, Christ asks us, are you going to stay with me? Or are you going to leave me too? Stark questions, right? We really see presented before us two roads. I think ever more than ever in our own day, we have to choose definitively the right path, right? The road of Christ, and respond with St. Peter, that beautiful response. Lord, you have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and are convinced that you're the Son of God. And St. Peter didn't necessarily understand at all what Jesus was trying to get at when he was teaching about the Eucharist there. But he put his faith in Christ and said, well, if you kind of look between the lines, like, even though I don't really get this, I'm going to try to live it. And I know that you are the one, that you are my Savior and Redeemer, and I will follow you. So when it comes to these kind of difficult passages in Scripture, or things that we just don't understand, you know, instead of just kind of closing our hearts and running away and saying, oh, well, that's just old-fashioned rubbish, maybe we should take some time in prayer with these kinds of Scriptures. And not just that, not just in our own little selves, but to go out, do a little research. How does the church understand this? Maybe check out what the Catechism has to say. There are all kinds of resources to help us to understand our faith. But we have to be able to come to grips, especially in our times when families are crumbling all around us, to be strong and to seek to follow the plan that Christ has for us. He is the one who has the words of eternal life. Even if difficult to understand, to him be glory forever. Amen.